Episode number 19 of the Great American Hockey Show podcast. Me and my co-host James Murphy will be talking about the Bruins offseason, catching you up to date. We'll also have an interview with Jimmy Vesey talking about the choice that he's going to have on August 15th, which NHL team he's going to sign with. And it might surprise you, he sounds fairly pro-Bruins, and like he might be leaning towards the hometown direction in the interview. And then we also have an interview with some of the Bruins prospects from development camp last week, Brandon Carlo, Matt Grizzlick, and Charlie McAvoy, the faces of the future on the Bruins blue line. That's all that and more coming up right now on the Great American Hockey Show podcast. All right, welcome to the Great American Hockey Show. I bring in my co-host, James Murphy,
of
Dirty Water Sports Media. Murph, what's going on? Let's just get into it. We haven't talked really much since the July 1st sort of turnover of some of this roster, a little bit, not much, and the acquisition of David Backes. Just thoughts on the Bruins summer to date.
You know, I think they've been active like they said they would, but maybe not quite as active as I thought. But I think that's not without trying. And I think that, you know, from all accounts, what you heard, what I heard, and all the reports coming out of the draft were that they were heavily pursuing Kevin Shattenkirk and some other defensemen there, but the prices were just too high. So I guess, you know, they turned their focus to other areas that they needed to strengthen. And I think David Backes definitely does that. I don't agree with the term and the money, given his age. But at the same time, I think he is what this young, inexperienced dressing room could use, is a guy with grit and leadership like that. So I like that move for the now. But I still think, I mean, you know, we've been saying it since we started this podcast. They need that number one or number two D-man. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen before this season starts. And if the signings they made last week of Colin Miller and Joe Morrow to both one-way deals is any indication, I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
Well, no, I don't think it's going to happen in the short term, like let's say over the next month. Definitely. I agree with you on Backes. I think they're going to have to overpay on term or money.
Yeah, it's just the way the market is.
Well, and also to get players to come to Boston. I don't think this is as much of a destination
anymore
as it used to be. Yep. And they're going to have to start overpaying guys like they used to have to do with Chara and Savard. You remember they had to massively overpay for both of those guys to come to Boston, you know, 10 years ago. And I think they're getting towards that point again, where they're going to have to overpay to bring guys here above and beyond the premium you have to pay for free agents anyway. I just like the fact that David Backes is an ass kicker. He's a guy that's going to go into that locker room, that's going to get in people's faces, that's going to hold players accountable. He's going to do some of the things that Patrice Bergeron's not comfortable doing from a leadership perspective, and something that Zdeno Chara doesn't really do anymore at this point in his career, is get that involved, you know, with the young guys and other guys in the room where he's really going to challenge them. And I think he's going to be good for that, but and he's going to be good production-wise. He's going to replace most of what you got from Louis Erickson. So I like all those things, and I like the strength down the middle, 1-2-3 as far as the centers go. My question, though, is if Backes is such an electric leader and such a great guy in that respect, why did the St. Louis Blues underachieve almost every single season in the playoffs? It's not like he carried them, you know, to any great lengths there. So I wouldn't
put that on one guy.
No, I'm not going to either. But I heard some people, as soon as they signed David Backes, of comparing him to Mark Recchi and the influence that he had when he came to Boston, which is not even close.
No.
I mean, I think this is a good player.
I think it's another Bielski type leadership, grit type move.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's,
I thought Troy Brouwer might have made sense. I think he's a similar guy to that, maybe a little bit more skilled production wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the signing. You're right. I do think one thing that's interesting about the defenseman, and one thing to watch for here, and we're going to talk a little bit about Jimmy Vesey later on down the line in one of the segments. If they do get him on August 15th, I think that might be the first of a couple of dominoes where that frees somebody up for the Bruins to trade to get a defenseman. And it may happen after Vesey makes his decision if he comes to Boston, where all of a sudden you see them start to gain heat.
They may have to do something money-wise, too.
Yeah, well, I think they're definitely going to have to.
So.
But I think that's something you may see happen with the Bruins if that falls in their favor. All of a sudden, maybe they do get the wheels turning on a Kevin Shattenkirk, a Cam Fowler, one of these other defensemen that's out there. But I think also at this point they've set up their roster so that if they don't trade for a defenseman, they start the season with what they have. And maybe if Brandon Carlo shows that he's ready to go right away, they can trade Adam McQuaid and that will free up some space and it'll open a spot for Carlo, and it'll open some salary cap space to have a little bit more flexibility. It'll kind of break up what we've seen there. I talked to some hockey people when they signed Kevin Miller after signing McQuaid last year, and they were emphatic. These are non-Bruins people. You can't win if you have Miller and McQuaid in your top six, especially counting for $5.2 million of your salary cap. Mm-hmm. So I think something's got to give there. I think McQuaid is the guy that ends up getting traded when they do make a move. And if Carlo looks good enough, maybe that will happen. Speaking of Brandon Carlo, Murph, why don't we throw to our my interview with Brandon Carlo, Matt Grizzlick, and Charlie McAvoy, a couple of the future faces of the Boston Bruins on the back end. What do you think? Let's hear from the young guys.
Sounds good.
All right, let's do it.
Joe Haggerty, Bruins Insider, here with some of the faces of the future for the Bruins blue line, Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick, Brandon Carlo. Guys, just first of all, first with you, Charlie, and then left to right here. How's the week been, development camp, and how are you enjoying it? I know there are varying degrees of experience with this whole setup.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first time around, but so far it's been a great experience for me. And, you know, I've kind of just focused on trying to develop and grow and, you know, take as much information as I can out of this week.
Matt, I know your experience was fifth?
Fifth camp.
I'm sure you've taken more of a leadership role now and helping the young guys. What has this growth been like from beginning to end for you in these development camps?
Yeah, especially this year, it's nice just to be back out there. I've kind of been on the sideline the past few years, so to be back out there with the guys competing is a great experience for me. And like you said, taking on more of a leadership role has been something that I'm getting accustomed to.
And Brandon, this second one for you, and I'm sure, you know, now that you've got your feet under you, you're feeling pretty comfortable with this whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coming in the second time, you know what to expect a little bit more than the first, obviously. So I really enjoyed the experience so far and just trying to be a sponge and soak it all up.
Matt, how much are you looking forward to just this training camp now? Jobs are on the line. Don Sweeney's already mentioned that a lot of young defensemen are going to be competing for NHL jobs. How exciting is that to know that, you know, there could be a carrot out there in camp for you guys if you have good enough camps?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. You know, it's been a while since I've been drafted. It's been kind of a long process staying 4 years at school, but it's nice to be considered a pro now and heading into my first training camp, trying to come in as best shape as possible and give myself the best chance.
And Brandon, Don Sweeney's mentioned you as a guy that they're definitely going to be looking at to potentially win a role or make an impact. How much of a motivating factor is that for you now, rookie camp, NHL camp, just to know that, you know, something like that might be possible either at the beginning of the year or at some point this season?
Yeah, obviously knowing that there's an opportunity there to make the big club is definitely puts a little bit of fire in your stomach. But overall, I feel like all the guys here just try to come in and do their part and, you know, play by their role and go through the camp and work as hard as they can, just continue to put a good impression in. So, but obviously it's exciting for all of us to be able to have that opportunity.
Charlie, obviously, you know, you're going back to BU, but seeing guys that are turning pro, seeing guys that are going to be competing for jobs, how much does that make you want to get to that point as well and sort of, you know, get to the point where you're on the verge of getting in the NHL? And it must put on some level, you know, make you want to sort of fast forward things, even though I know you're looking forward to going back to BU.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. It's really cool to see, you know, these guys doing what they're doing right now. And, you know, it's been great to play with these guys this week and learn from them. And, you know, everything that they get is well deserving. But, you know, for me, it's not really, you know, how quick I can get there, but how long I can stay. So that's kind of my mindset right now. So that's why I'll be going back to school again next year.
You take it kind of on a year-by-year basis. Is that sort of your approach now at BU going forward?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've spoken to Coach Quinn about it and, you know, people who are close to me. And, I mean, it's that same mindset as to, you know, I want to grow and develop. And, you know, when I leave and I decide that I'm going to go for it, that I'm as ready as I can be.
And, Matt, what is the biggest thing you've gotten as far as feedback from the Bruins? Just what they want to see out of you, what they're looking for in camp, and just during your time at BU, things that specifics they wanted you to work on and improve on and get better at?
Yeah, obviously, more so my defensive game coming into college, kind of an offensive defenseman, but if I could be as two-way as I can be, just learning angles, obviously being a smaller defenseman, not really going to overpower anyone in the NHL or anything like that. So just kind of learning how to read off guys' hips and use my skills to my advantage in my best favor.
Is there a guy or a couple of guys they've given you video of and say, you know, take a look at how they're doing it to, you know, kind of get an idea of what they're looking for?
Yeah, obviously draw a lot of comparisons to Torrey, pretty similar in stature, and obviously it's worked out really well for him getting the big contract here with the Bruins. So he's some that obviously I get to watch a lot playing in Boston. So if I can pick up anything that he does along the way, I think that'd be great for me.
And Brandon, same question to you. What's the feedback you've gotten from the Bruins over the last year and kind of what they were looking for you to improve on, what they liked, and what they're kind of looking for in this training camp?
I think the biggest thing for me that they've stressed mainly is getting back to pucks and surrounding myself around it as fast as I can and get it moving as quick as I can. I feel like that's something that will definitely help me at the next level. Obviously, the speed of the game increases quite a bit, so just getting around those pucks and moving them up and obviously being in position for my partner as well.
What's the biggest thing you took from the cup of coffee you had at the end of the year in the AHL, and you know, you get dropped into an AHL playoff game and acquitted yourself pretty well? What did you take from that experience of adjustments that you need to make, or you know, what you need to do to get ready?
Yeah, just the speed of the game. It's so fast, you can't slack at all when you're going back for a puck in the corner. So basically just the speed of the game and the strength of the guys is something that, you know, I definitely got familiar with my time there. So that's pretty much what I'll take away from it.
What, Charlie, I know you and Matt played together at BU. Give me a scouting report on Grizz and you know, what he's like as a player.
I mean, Grizz was phenomenal as a D partner. You know, being a senior and me a freshman, I was able to learn a lot from him, you know, both on and off the ice. But, you know, on the ice, he was a player that could just take over games, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, I think for his skating ability, he's got to be one of the best skaters that I've ever played with. And his offensive instincts, you know, he scored a lot of big goals for us and, you know, had a lot of big plays for us this year.
How comfortable does it make it for you going to a development camp and, you know, him being here as somebody that you know pretty well, just getting right into it?
No, it's been huge for me this week to be able to have someone that I know I can lean on and, you know, someone who I have a good relationship with that I can go to whenever I'm, you know, confused about a drill on the ice or, you know, I don't hear something in the weight room and, you know, I know that there's someone I can lean on who's going to, you know, fill me in and always keep me up to speed.
And same thing, Grizz, with Charlie, just the youngest guy or one of the youngest guys in college hockey last year. I think he played like half the year as a 17-year-old and really came on and got better as the year went on. Like, what did you see out of him last year as a freshman?
Just how mature he was coming into to college. Obviously, he's 17 years old until I think December. So it's pretty impressive, especially as a defenseman who tend to kind of develop later in their years. The way he played and handled some of the bigger and stronger guys in college hockey was awesome to see, and you know, playing with him was awesome too. I think we kind of fed off each other really well as two guys who like to skate the puck, so it's definitely a great experience.
What's the best thing about BU as far as getting you guys ready for the NHL? Do you feel like it helps you, that makes them unique?
I think just having Coach Quinn and the staff there, I think they do a really great job. Obviously, his experience in pro hockey, I'm sure it helped him along the way. And he does a great job, obviously brings in a lot of great kids recruiting class-wise. So, I mean, day in and day out of practice, you're playing some of the best players in college hockey, and it's only beneficial.
Any guys that the Bruins have given you video on to kind of study when they want you to work on things, Charlie, or anybody that comes to mind NHL-wise, they say we kind of envision you as this sort of player?
No video or anything yet, but I mean, one comparison that I like to make is I like to play like Drew Doughty, and you know, he's someone who it's going to be a little while until I can reach that potential, you know, but he's a phenomenal player, and you know, if I could have the success that he's had in the NHL, then I mean, that would be amazing.
What's the biggest thing? I mean, obviously he's a phenomenal player, Norris Trophy winner, but what's the biggest thing that you like about him? Is it playing in all situations, the fact that he's, you know, a physical guy as well as a skill guy, like all
yeah.
of the above?
No, it's just I look at him and the one thing that I think about is he's a complete player. Yeah, I mean, he can play in all situations. He can play both sides of the puck. You know, he's power play and penalty kill, and those are all the the things that I want to be as a player, to strive in both ends of the ice.
Brandon, is there a guy NHL-wise, whether they've given you video to look at or just in general, that you kind of model yourself after? You say, I want to play like this guy?
Not necessarily. I feel like I am transitioning into more of a little bit more offensive this year, just following the play up. Nothing too special, but obviously there's guys on the Avalanche that I've been watching growing up, and like Eric Johnson and those guys. But obviously he's a bit more offensive than I am. But I love his defensive game as well. There's guys on the Bruins as well, Adam McQuaid, Chara, that I like to model myself after. So overall, just those three guys, I guess you could say, I try and take little bits and pieces from.
D zone and kind of that attitude that you have there. I mean, is that sort of the bread and butter and where it all starts from you, whether it's offense, defense, you kind of go from there?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's kind of my foundation is the defensive aspect, but I feel like there's a lot more that I can implement in my game. So just try and stick my foundation and work from there.
The last question for all three of you. I'll start with you, Charlie. You've been here a few days now. You've gotten to know the staff, some of the prospects. What do you think it means to be a Boston Bruin?
I just see a lot of pride in this organization from the top down to all the players. You can tell just how proud everyone is to be a part of this organization. And, you see that and then you really internalize that and, you feel it too. And, just really happy and really excited to be a part of this organization.
And Grizz, obviously growing up in the shadows of the Garden, your dad works in the Bull Gang. You've got a lot of history with this organization. What do you think it means to be a Boston Bruin?
I think especially for Bostonians, they love their hard workers. Got to see that firsthand growing up, only about a mile away from the rink. So they really like that blue collar mentality, and there's a lot to be excited about going into the future for the Bruins.
And Brandon, same question. What do you think it means having been through this for a year and been a part of the organization as a draft pick? What does it mean to be a Boston Bruin?
Obviously, the organization is so historic, and as you walk around the room, we've gotten to, see the Garden and all of that stuff and all the guys hanging up on the wall, and you just see how much history is involved. It definitely makes you feel very blessed to be a part of it. So being a Bruin is pretty much indescribable, and, feel very lucky.
I got to say, definitely impressed with the guys that I saw in development camp. Carlo, big, strong, a little surly in the defensive zone, was barking out instructions to other guys during the scrimmages. The defense partner, the goalie, really taking charge of what was going on out there. And, at 6'5", 205 pounds with the ability to skate, mm-hmm. He's already going to be able to handle himself physically. Charlie McAvoy, I think, a couple years from now, is going to be a stud top pairing defenseman.
Yeah.
And, he wants to be Drew Doughty. That's a huge, lofty thing. But if he can be, 80-90% of Drew Doughty, that's much better than what the Bruins have now, and maybe he can be their number one. He certainly looked like he's tracking in the direction to be a number one, number two defenseman. I thought Grizzlick was solid. Jeremy Lazon was solid. Jakob Zboril, who struggled a little bit last year and was out of shape at last development camp, came in better. The present for the Bruins blue line right now is not good, but the future is definitely bright when you put all these young prospects together. Give Don Sweeney credit for building in a nice little array here of young Bruins prospects.
I think one other thing to kind of stretch that further in terms of giving Don Sweeney credit is, and that we referenced already, the two young defensemen he signed to one ways. Don Sweeney's got some ultimatums coming down from above, along with Cam Neely, to make the playoffs. And kind of it seems like the management is on a different page than the ownership. And ownership, obviously, they want to make money. It's understandable. They're more worried about the exact present. And Don Sweeney's saying, I got a plan. And I'm doing my best to stick to it right now. I think he veered away at the trade deadline a bit those moves, But at the same time, he's back to kind of saying, No, I'm sticking to my guns. And I really do believe in the wealth of prospects that you just mentioned there, Joe. He believes in them, and he believes that he has laid that foundation there. And good for him for, I'm not going to say go as far as saying giving the bird to ownership or anything, but for standing up and saying, you hired me to do the job I think needs to be done to make this team better now and in the future, and that's what I'm going to do. And if you don't like it, well, then we'll figure that out.
Yeah, and he can't, though, veer away from have any more of these things
rentals.
Like the trade deadline where he veers away from the long-range plan. He can't afford to make too many more mistakes.
Right, they're not a rental team, Joe.
He's going to stick to whatever his long-range plan is and not deviate from it, not allow that pressure to get to him. I agree with you, but it's only natural. He's going to think about his future employment and potentially, and I think that goes into it, thinking about if it doesn't work out here, I've got to do the right things with this organization, so maybe somebody else will look at me and potentially bring me on. And I think this is another big reason why they were not and they did not offer sheet Jacob Trouba is you look at the executives that throw out offer sheets in the NHL at big-time free agents. They don't get jobs anywhere else.
No.
Whether it's
Mike
Gillis.
They don't get guys that want to do deals with them
either. Whether it's Jay Feaster, whether it's Holmgren getting kicked up involuntarily at Philadelphia. You know, all these guys basically were kicked out of being GMs because they signed guys to offer sheets.
It's a good point. And, you know, one thing, as you were saying that I think we'll see a truer test of if he's going to stick to his guns is during the season.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to do that in the off season than when you're battling for a playoff position and the heat's on to make that final playoff spot. So, you know what? I hope he does do what he did in the offseason come March, you know, or February, whenever the trade deadline is, because I think that he has a good plan, and if allowed to execute it, it will work. But I think the chances of that are like 50-50 at best.
A lot of people he's going to please above him. I don't know if it's going to happen. All right, well, let's do a couple quick Twitter questions, a little interactive social media portion of the show. James M underscore XX111. That's James M23. After the Brassard trade today, which was an interesting one, what are the odds the Bruins shop David Krejci?
I think that the odds that they shop him aren't that great, but I think the odds that they listen to offers are pretty good, and I think they already are. And I think that his name is definitely out there in terms of they're not, you know, putting the phone down right away when somebody calls and makes an offer for David Krejci. I think they're definitely going to explore any options that come their way. Hey, look, if we haven't learned by now, and it's not directly to the Bruins there, but I mean with what the Montreal Canadiens did, trading PK Subban, there's no untouchables in hockey. I don't care who you are. If you're Patrice Bergeron, Sidney Crosby, if there's a deal to be made and at that current state everything falls into place, like Don Sweeney said a couple times, then it might happen. You never know. You just never know. So I think we need to veer away from saying it was untouchable comments anymore when it comes to who's available.
Yeah, and I think right now, 30 years old, having his second hip surgery on both hips now coming off of that, he's not going to get traded until he comes back and shows that he's healthy anyway.
Exactly.
But I think...
And if you were to trade him, you're not going to get much from now.
No,
you
not
want,
right now.
You need his value.
Right, you need him to get healthy and build it back up again. But I think it's similar to VZ, where that's something that might happen during the season. If they need a veteran defenseman, if some of these other options have fallen by the wayside, I could definitely see Krejci in play to try to get a puck-moving defenseman and see that a move that the Bruins would make, because it makes much more salary cap sense to try to trade David Krejci than Ryan Spooner, even though other teams might be asking for Ryan Spooner and want him as a center option. And I think there might be some places you could sell Krejci on going and waiving his no movement clause. He's got a house in Charleston. He lives in the south part of the year. Maybe you could get him to go to one of the southern teams. If the Bruins aren't going anywhere, I think that's the kind of guy that might say, you know what, maybe I'd want to go somewhere else and compete and go for cups, because I think he's that kind of personality.
You know what, though? You know, obviously he's going to decide this, and it's not a team that I see competing for the cup right away, but they could get into playoff contention very soon.
Yep.
And that's the Carolina Hurricanes. And I look at them as if you were going to try and get a defenseman by trading David Krejci, they're a very good partner right there. I mean, they've got a wealth
Falk
of young,
awesome.
They've got a
Falk's
ton
exactly
of young defensemen there. I mean, obviously they'd love to get another shot at Noah Hanifin, but that's not going to happen. But yeah, Falk's a great one. They've got Murphy. It's a good name, obviously. And, you know, I just think that that's a good fit right there. And I know that they had some discussions with the Florida Panthers, but the Panthers just didn't want to take a chance on David Krejci at this time. And this was a couple months ago, but I think that there's definitely some partners out there that could use David Krejci.
Yeah, and the bottom line, we mentioned Backes before, I don't see it working out with Bergeron, Krejci, and Backes being centers on this team. I think eventually with those
Backes
guys
at wing
and a Char, yeah, but he wants to play center.
Yeah.
I, when you've got Achari, you've got Spooner, you've got Backes, you've got Krejci, you've got Bergeron, you've got too many centers. Yeah. I think at a certain point that comes to a head and they have to trade one of them maybe during the season after it starts. All right, here's another Twitter question from Nate Raymond, Nader085. When do you suspect the Bruins will re-sign Marchand? I think that will happen this summer. I think he wants to be here. I think the Bruins want to sign him. It's going to be like an eight-year, $56 million deal somewhere in that neighborhood. It's going to be huge money. But I think they're going to get it done because I think both sides want to get it done.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of if. I think it's definitely when is the question here. And I think it's going to be really soon. Because if anything, you look at what Sweeney's trying to do right now is he continues to try and – you know, have his cap situation secured and kind of know where he's going for the near future. So I think he wants to get that out of the way as soon as possible. Now, the question, on the other hand, is does Marchand's camp want to get it out of the way as soon as possible?
And Wade Arnaut is a tough negotiator. Bruins had problems with him when
Marchand's
Phil Kessel
earned,
first became a free agent.
He's earned whatever he's worth on the market. You know what I mean? And I think that right now might be out of the Bruins' reach. And they might have to make moves to do that.
We'll see, though. Like, look, I saw today.
I think he could get $7 million on the market.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's what I said. 8 years, $56 million. Yeah. I think that's what you have to pay to get him. I saw some people today trying to say that Marchand is comparable to Jamie Benn, which is straight up idiotic. And I don't think there's any shot. I don't even know who they were, but I saw it online.
Are they black and gold glasses glued to their face?
I don't know, but that is absolutely
insane.
That one of the top five best players in the league. You think Marchand? No. Marchand's good. He's right around all-star level now at this point, and he's raised his profile. But to think he's anything close to Jamie Benn is just straight-up stupid. One guy that's not straight-up stupid, Murph, though, is the other guy, the Harvard smart kid, the other guy that we are going to talk to here with an interview, sat down with Jimmy Vesey last week, Hobie Baker winner, former Harvard captain, who has a huge decision on his mind August 15th of who he's going to sign with. Here's that one-on-one interview with Jimmy Vesey.
There's been a lot of chatter about you, Jimmy, this summer. Harvard captain, Hobie Baker winner, going to be a free agent on August 15th if you push it out to there. Buffalo traded for your rights. Just kind of ho-hum, right? Teams kind of clamoring for August 15th, maybe if you get there, and also Buffalo even flying in last week to kind of, you know, make their pitch about why you should be a Sabre. Just another regular summer for you?
I'm trying to, put as much of that to the side as I can and just focus on my training and my skating so I can be ready for training camp. But it's been a little hectic at times, but I'm just, like I said, just trying to keep my mind in the right spot and keep training hard.
What did you take from that meeting with Buffalo? Is that did it give you a better idea about what signing with them potentially would be like, and what the future would hold there? I mean, did you come away with a lot of information from that meeting? What was the feeling like coming out of there?
I thought it was a really good meeting. I met with Tim Murray, Dan Bylsma, and Jerry Fortin, who coached me at Harvard and is a scout for the Sabres. I thought the meeting went really well and was informative, and I felt really comfortable talking to them, and they've been really good with me throughout the process.
Does it change your mind at all? I know you've and your agents have been pretty consistent about going August 15th and, hearing from every team. I mean, do you get swayed at all when they fly in the coach and the GM and, somebody that you know personally to try to get you to sign before then?
I think it was a good meeting to kind of get a feel for what the process is going to be like. We're going August 15th, as we've said all along. But to talk to a GM and a coach, I think it is going to, like I said, give me an idea of what to expect August 15th. And, like I said, they've been really good with me through the process. And, they said they're not trying to create a circus or anything like that. And they're going to leave me alone now. So I've respected Buffalo throughout the whole thing.
Is it hard to wait until August 15th? I mean, is it almost like waiting for Christmas, to hear from all these teams, find out what they have to offer, and sort of, finally make a decision? Having some level of uncertainty, I'm sure you want to kind of answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, it's been definitely a couple long months since my season ended, but just trying to keep training, and we're almost through the thick of it now, I think. So August is right around the corner, and can't wait for August 15th to come and start meeting with teams.
Is it fair to say the Bruins will get some consideration too as the hometown team, a team that you grew up watching, your dad played for, that you're going to listen to what they have to say?
Yeah, definitely. I've said it all along, you know, Boston's definitely on my list of teams that I would like to talk to. And yeah, it's been a team that I've rooted for my whole life and, you know, watched win the Stanley Cup in 2011. So I'll definitely be meeting with Boston in August.
Any, just to give Don Sweeney a little heads up, any favorite players that if you heard from, it might be meaningful, kind of like sending Tom Brady to Kevin Durant's place in the Hamptons, or any visits from Bruins players that might mean something to you?
I mean, I was a huge Joe Thornton fan growing up. You know, I wear number 19, he wore number 19, so, you know, he was my favorite player. And, I mean, I've got to know Torrey Krug a little bit through playing with him at World Championships last year, so, yeah, I mean, it'll be really cool to play with Torrey and, like I said, put on the Bruins jersey because it's a team that I've watched my whole life.
Have you, in your own mind, sort of pared down to like a number of teams at this point, rather than, you know, just saying, oh, 29 teams, it's going to be open to them? Have you kind of already gone through that mental exercise?
Yeah, I think 29 teams would be a little bit crazy to meet with all of them. So I think, yeah, we have a little bit of a short list going with me and my agent and my family. So, yeah, we're going to try to narrow it down as best we can and then try to get through it as quick as we can once August 15th comes.
How meaningful are the relationships? You know, obviously a lot's been made of you and Jack Eichel being buddies and maybe him trying to recruit you to Buffalo, and obviously you guys would be dynamic together. You know, the Harvard connections with Don Sweeney and Ted Donato having played with the Bruins. Obviously Toronto, your brother and your father are members of that organization. Even, you know, Tommy Fitz is a Charlestown guy, and I know your family's from Charlestown, so there are connections there with the New Jersey Devils as well. How much do those relationships and those connections to different teams, how meaningful is that to you when you're making a decision?
I think it's definitely on my mind a little bit. It would definitely be a little more comforting to walk into a locker room and know someone there, especially since I'll be a rookie at training camp and stuff like that. But honestly, I'm just going to try to, you know, weigh all my options and just try to make the best decision for me and my career in terms of you know, getting into the NHL and staying there.
What's the most important thing to you with a team that you're going to sign with? You know, a team that's a playoff-level team, a team where you can be kind of a top six guy and jump right in and get that opportunity right off the bat. You know, other considerations like cities you want to play and things like that. Like, what are the most important sort of criteria for a team that you're going to sign with?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different things to consider. Like you said, good team or a bad team. But, you know, I think, you know, having face-to-face interviews on August 15th and getting a feel for the GM and the coach is probably one of the biggest for me in terms of getting a feel for them on a personal level. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to consider, but like I said, I'm just waiting for August 15th.
When it comes to Boston, and obviously you're from here, so you get how intense it is and, you know, the pressure, is there any hesitation maybe when you think about the Bruins, just being a local guy and, you know, knowing that there's a lot of pressure on the local guys and, you know, even a guy like Jimmy Hayes played with the Bruins last year and he got his fair share of talk radio criticism and things like that. I mean, does that kind of stuff enter into the equation at all or phase you in any way?
No, I don't think so. You know, I have work out here in Foxborough with the Hayes brothers, so and I've known them my whole life. So I have a good relationship with Jimmy and, you know, he's had nothing but good things to say about Boston. And you know, to a little extent, I am a little bit of a homebody, and I get a big crew of family in the Boston area. So, you know, it'd definitely be comforting to have them around. So, like I said, a lot of things are on my mind right now.
As far as this league goes, how long have you played here at Foxborough, and what's that like just to have this kind of in the summertime to skate with the NHL guys and keep in shape?
Yeah, I think it's a really good competitive league for the summertime and definitely helps us stay in shape and maintain our skills. And I've probably played it in for the last 5 years. I think it's a lot of fun too, even though it's competitive. And yeah, there's a lot of good players down here, and it's good to you know, have an up-tempo game in the summertime.
What's the best piece of advice that your dad's maybe given you about this whole sort of situation that you're in, you know, going up to August 15th and, you know, having a choice to make? Obviously, he's been through a lot of this before.
You know, I think just do what's in my heart, make the best decision for me. You know, I had the unique opportunity to pursue free agency, unrestricted free agency, just something some guys don't get to experience until they're, you know, almost 30 years old. So just trying to make the best decision for myself and my career, and yeah, my family and my dad have been nothing but supportive.
Is this a trend, do you think, that you'll see other guys do? I know there's been a few, but it seems like there's more every year where guys are, you know, making that choice where they have the control and they can decide who they want to play for. Rather, when you sign with the team that drafted you, you're kind of, you know, locked in for quite some time without control.
Yeah, I think, you know, some guys might consider it more, you know, as we go from year to year. I know a lot of guys have done it before me. Kevin Hayes, Mikey Riley, two guys that I'm pretty friendly with, yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of a loophole in the CBA, and you know, if guys want to try to pick where they want to play, and you know, they're not totally into the team that drafted them, then I think, yeah, you might see guys pursue this road, especially if they're going to go through 4 years of college.
So any favorite restaurant or food that the Bruins can bring to the meeting with you to kind of sway you? Is there anything they can do to put it over the top to bring you to Boston?
I don't know. I'm a big North End guy, so like Italian foods. So.
They're pretty close by.
Yeah, I guess I'll put that out there.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, Murph, give me your best guess, because I went into it I've had some people telling me he wants to go to Buffalo because he's close with Jack Eichel. I had somebody tell me last week that the family ties in Charlestown to Tommy Fitz. Watch out for the New Jersey Devils as a dark horse, especially after getting Taylor Hall. You hear that Stan Bowman visited Foxborough last week, where Jimmy Vesey's playing, and all of a sudden the Chicago Blackhawks are, you know, sort of getting in there at the last minute like they do so many times. Mm-hmm. With these players. But I got to tell you, talking to the kid, and the reactions and the giddy little kid smiles that I got on his face every time I mentioned the Boston Bruins, I feel like this kid is going to sign in Boston. And I've been told that from people, too.
Yeah, I mean, it seems he drops hints here and there, right? I mean, it get you a little excited if you're a Bruins
fan. I'm a homebody. I want to be around my friends and family,
but,
like all that
but
stuff.
But then at the same time, it seems like his camp is pushing different messages out to the media and the public. You know, that maybe he doesn't want to be here. Maybe he doesn't want to deal. You know, we keep hearing all this stuff about Jimmy Hayes going to him and telling him it's not a good place to play. And
I think
a
that stuff comes
guy.
From his dad. I don't know if that speaks for the kid.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know? I have no problem with the messages that Jimmy Vesey is himself,
right,
the individual, has been conveying. But I think he needs to have a sit down with his agent and with his family and say, guys, I got this. Right. I'm a grown man. I can handle this. Like, please stop talking to so-and-so, and then it gets to this reporter, and then it gets out and gets public. Just let things go as they go, and I'll make my decision, because in the end, it's my decision. And, you know, it's got to be a tough situation for him, because, I mean, obviously they raised him, and they've gotten him to this point, and they want the best for him. And,
well, and his dad, I'm sure, feels like he's got special insight, because he played, and he knows some of the people and all that stuff.
But I feel for the kid, Joe, because at times, you know, there was a part of me, at one point, when I was like, is this kid a prima donna or no? But then you see him in the interview with you, and every other interview I've seen him.
He's not.
Seems like a great kid.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like that he just needs to be the one conveying the message like he did in that interview with you. And I was glad that he was able to be so relaxed and upfront with you and kind of get out what he's feeling about the situation. Because finally we hear it from him, as opposed to, you know, so-and-so at the pub down in Charlestown told me this about Jimmy Vesey. Enough of that. Just let the kid be.
Yeah, and the thing I told him right after that interview was over is, Jimmy, after talking to you, I'm firmly convinced you're going to have success and you're going to be happy no matter where you are, because you're a good kid and your head's on straight.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's going to do what's best.
See, he almost seems like a quiet kid, too.
Yeah,
like,
I think he is.
You know what I mean? So it's just, I hope that, you know, the situation is resolved quickly come August 15th. It doesn't go a little past that, because I'd like to see him just figure out where he's going to go for him.
Watch out for that Harvard Mafia connection with Don Sweeney and Ted Donato and Jimmy Vesey. That's all I'm saying, Marv.
What about Peter Chiarelli?
Yeah, well, no, he's not going to Edmonton. All right, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. Thank you, Jimmy Murphy.
All right.
And always keep it great, keep it American. Always, always keep it about hockey. See you, folks.